He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Today, the United States, together with our allies and partners, has reached a historic understanding with Iran, which, if fully implemented, will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon. As president and commander-in-chief, I have no greater responsibility than the security of the American people. And I am convinced that if this framework leads to a final comprehensive deal, it will make our country, our allies, and our world safer.
From his lips to God's ears, Good Friday, Passover, lunar eclipse. It's a super combo commemoration day, big, big day. And maybe the biggest news of all, this tentative but sweeping nuke deal with Iran. Say hallelujah, but trust, but verify. Today we'll debate this deal that could change the relationship between us, all of Western civilization, and our bitter nemesis, Iran. We're going to talk a lot about that deal and whether it's a good deal or a bad deal. Bibi Netanyahu, as you might expect, thinks it's a bad deal. But I think that even the Israeli prime minister recognizes the inevitability of the deal. But I want to start someplace closer to home because as scary as a nuclear war and the end of mankind as we know it is, the bigger immediate threat of these homegrown extremists, they're living right here among us. And I want to start by probing these two ISIS-inspired local women who apparently, allegedly, wanted to create mass casualty attacks right here in New York City. Noam Layden joins me, despite the fact we're here, Deborah Valentine, at the top of the show. What are you taking, like half a day today?
Well, no, it was that story I did a couple of days ago. They didn't like it very much, so I'm being punished.
I see. You were speaking in tongues. All right, so speak straight to me. Who are these two women? Are these real, the real deal? Are these two schmucky women who got led by the nose by some, entrapped by some undercover agent who put ideas in their heads?
I don't know for sure, but if I had to guess, I would say the latter. This 31-year-old Aziza Siddiqui, 28-year-old Noelle Valences had been planning this attack apparently since May 2013 when they started talking to this undercover cop. And started saying all these radical things to this undercover cop. Now, one of them had a relationship with someone who was an editor for an online Al-Qaeda magazine. The other one had talked about how Osama bin Laden...
So she's been writing on the internet to someone that's at the ISIS magazine, the Al-Qaeda magazine?
We don't know because we don't see the whole complaint in front of us that doesn't detail that. But I'm assuming that's probably what it was. They caught on to them by some of the things they did online. That's usually how they catch up with these people.
Now, I heard they're going to try to blow up the Ramos Lou funerals in December?
Again, we don't know how close or even if they would have been able to pull that off. But yes, they had suggested that they wanted to, an attractive target, as they called it, what they told this undercover cop. An attractive target would have been the funeral back in December for those two officers who were assassinated.
So Noam Layden reporting on these two American, one of these women is Puerto Rican. I mean, a Puerto Rican convert to Islam. And so they lived in Queens. And
together.
Houses, they were roommates?
They were roommates, yeah.
So no husbands, no men?
Don't know, but they were roommates for a while.
Now, one of them has a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old. Were the kids at home when the FBI showed up?
Don't know that as well.
Now, what overt evidence exists? In other words, what stuff did they have in their homes?
There is evidence.
All right, what?
Okay, so when they went into their homes, they had stockpiled tanks of propane gas, along with information on how to turn them into bombs. They also had fertilizer in their home. And the suggestion here is that they were trying to build a pressure cooker bomb, much like the one that was used in the Boston Marathon attack.
Uh-huh. And so they had fertilizer in the home in Queens and these propane gas tanks.
Again, I can't say specifically whose home, but they had access or they had been stockpiling. Don't know where, doesn't say. But they had access to this. They had been stockpiling this propane gas along with this some sort of manual of some sorts that would tell them how to make it into a bomb.
It's effing war, said the Puerto Rican one, Valences. I'm kind of torn because this isn't like, and ladies and gentlemen, you have to be very clear about this. This isn't too hardened Al-Qaeda or ISIS terrorists who were picked up on some random eavesdropping or some surveillance. These are two women who said some stuff. They put the tail on them. They got the undercover investigator inculcated in their worlds. And then they had chats for several months that was secretly recorded. You know, it sounds a lot like, remember the Fort Dix Six? I forget the number. Maybe it was not six, but the Fort Dix crew.
Right.
There was some pizza delivery people and others who were going to perpetrate violence against Fort Dix. And it turned out there was a government, like a shark kind of shyster guy who led them down, kept suggesting, oh, why don't you blow up something? Why don't you make a bomb? Why don't you shoot soldiers on Lee? You know, it was almost like the agent was the one who was formulating the crime plan, the terror plan, rather than the schmucky guys, although they all were convicted, Fort Dix. Entrapment is not a defense, particularly if they find that you are inclined to commit the criminal offense. I have no reason to doubt the feds in this case. But what makes me uncomfortable, Noman, I guess my point is, yes, I believe that homegrown terrorism is the battlefront that we will, that's where we will wage this war largely, those of us here in cities like this one. We have to be vigilant about people who are self-starting or get motivated by the internet, watching the news, whatever it is, start accumulating these ingredients for these relatively accessible recipe for making these weapons of mass destruction. But my queasiness comes in at were they serious, these two women? You know, and there's also that relative rarity, and I'm not being sexist here, that women, generally speaking, are not what the sex we associate with this homegrown terror acts. My point is, I hope that this is legit in the sense that they would have done this regardless of the input of the undercover investigator. But were I their defense attorney, that would certainly be where I would start my defense of the two.
You know, and also we know a little bit that their sympathies lied with Al-Qaeda initially, ISIS secondary, because it goes back even a couple years back. One of these women, Azia, was communicating with this guy who tried to bomb the Christmas tree lighting in Portland. Do you remember that back in 2010?
I do.
He's behind bars for life. She's been communicating with this guy, showing sympathy to him. So
of course she got tail.
Her sympathies are there.
Yeah.
But we don't know if she was going to carry out the attacks, though.
Hang out an ISIS black flag in your house in Queens. If you start communicating, you know that every communication a terrorist makes is being monitored. Here, the one woman, Siddiqui, wrote a poem. Memories of battlefields I have never stepped on. Ya Allah, take me. I remind myself these sacrifices are only for you. Ya Allah, take me to the lands where the eyes are cooled. I remind myself these sacrifices, blah, 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 blah. Some of us are born soldiers. Battle runs through our blood. I mean, this kind of nonsense is exactly the sophomoric, here I am, come get me, signal that I would expect from rank amateurs. Not that an amateur can't perpetrate massive violence, and I congratulate the officers, the FBI that busted them. I just want us to be conscious of the fact that there is surveillance, and then there is encouragement, and I want to make sure that we don't cross that line. The bigger story, I think, because they have nabbed these two, and they're going to be in jail for a long, long time, I believe, these two women from Queens. The bigger story is the nuke deal with Iran. And I know that many people out there, even the president, you have this, the president here, 47 seconds. Let's listen from the president from the Rose Garden, knowing that there are going to be critics of this deal. Listen.
So when you hear the inevitable critics of the deal sound off, ask them a simple question. Do you really think that this verifiable deal, if fully implemented, backed by the world's major powers, is a worse option than the risk of another war in the Middle East? Is it worse than doing what we've done for almost two decades with Iran moving forward with its nuclear program and without robust inspections? I think the answer will be clear. Remember, I have always insisted that I will do what is necessary to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon, and I will. But I also know that a diplomatic solution is the best way to get this done and offers a more comprehensive and lasting solution. It is our best option by far.
I believe that he is correct. It is the best option by far. Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, as you might expect, has a whole different angle on this. Bibi, you know, he met, it's already, you know, Passover in Israel. It's already deep into Friday night over there. He has convened his cabinet, though, for a special session. Bibi Netanyahu has, and they are discussing the deal. And Bibi said after the session, Israel will not accept an agreement which allows a country that vows to annihilate us to develop nuclear weapons, period. But he did acknowledge the possibility of the final agreement being reached, saying that such a deal must, quote, include a clear and unambiguous Iranian recognition of Israel's right to exist. You know, if I was one of these mullahs there, I'd say, of course, you know, yeah, we want Israel to exist. They need to get these sanctions lifted off their neck. We need Congress now not to, you know, get their grubby political hands all over this. Let the president cut him some slack. I bet none of you listening right now really believe that Obama could pull this deal off. So what did they get in this deal? They get Iran can still enhance uranium, which is the material you use for nuclear weapons, but only to 3.67%. That's enough for nuclear power, but it's not enough for a bomb. 19,000 centrifuges goes down to 5,000. All the sanctions get lifted on Iran. That's why they're dancing in the streets in Tehran. But the sanctions snap back. That's the word, snap back. If Iran cheats, they got to have investigators there, mandatory investigators. They can, you know, keep researching the nuke stuff. I just think that this is a surprisingly good deal. And the reaction so far, Noam, from Congress has been pretty muted.
You know, it's interesting, too, is the assumption is that Iran speaks as one voice. But you see the hardliners there today criticizing this agreement. They're saying that the outline of this future nuclear pact, they're calling it a bargain for the West and a disaster for Iran. So not even everybody in Iran is on the same page.
The Iranian leader just spoke. He said a couple of things. He says that Iran can cooperate with the world, doesn't have to choose between fighting the world or surrendering to it. That's pretty cool. And the other side, if the other side keeps its promises, Iran will keep its promises. Hey, it could have been, and he's been desperate, President Obama, for a breakthrough. He has had the lamest foreign policy performance of any president. I mean, he really has screwed up things royally. If he really has pulled this off and he really has an Iran nuclear deal that Israel and the United States can live with, you know, that is a legacy action there that, you know, that goes a long way toward erasing a lot of the screw-ups that have been so apparent as he's fiddled as the Middle East has come apart. All right, what do you think of the president's deal? I have to talk because of the, you know, the NCAA finally starting. It's finally all about basketball in Indianapolis. So we want to be, you know, the sideshow over gay wedding cakes and all the rest of that. That's going to be pushed to the side. Let the games begin. We'll hear from Guns. Gunselman, he's at the Final Four. He's going to be joining us. We got a lot of action on this Passover, lunar eclipse, Good Friday, all the, everything's come together. But your opinion, your feelings, what do you think? You're my secretaries of state.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
26 minutes after 10 o'clock, we're going to have a spirited program. I see the calls are tumbling in, cascading in. People want to weigh in. Whether the president is a dopey, naive bumbler, or whether he's pulled off something extraordinary and maybe historic here, we'll debate and discuss it. But the other big news, you know, in sports as in life, the big Final Four starting tomorrow in Indianapolis. I guess it's really on, despite all the bumps along the road there. Guns Gunselman is in Indianapolis.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So where you staying at Motel 6? Where you staying?
You know what? I actually have a bed. I'm so excited. They gave me a bed. I was on a flight. It had one row on it, on my side. So I was scared for my life as I flew into a thunderstorm. But Indianapolis is fun. This downtown area, we've got the Final Four beginning tomorrow night. You've got an undefeated Kentucky playing. You've got Duke. So right there, you've got two big name schools. The Cinderella team would be number 7 Michigan State, and an unbelievable Wisconsin team. So no matter what the scenario is for the championship game, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. It takes place where the Indianapolis Colts play, which is Lucas Oil Stadium. I'm there now, Radio Row, hanging out, doing you proud, Geraldo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that, dude. I like that. So tell me, are they talking about basketball or are they talking about gay wedding cakes?
I'll tell you what, around, and no one, by the way, told me to go and try to buy some cake and let him know how it went.
See if so I can buy a cake.
And then I told him to give me some bail money as well, so we'll see. But around here, though, Indianapolis, especially around here downtown, I mean, the big talk is sports. It's everywhere you look. They really kind of transformed this city into it. Duke was driving by yesterday, the team bus, and had all this police escorts. But when I was driving at the airport and just driving to Indianapolis, you did see pockets of protests. The state house for the state is in Indianapolis, and that wasn't too far from where my hotel was, and there was big protests and just chaos going on out there yesterday. Today on the Indianapolis Star, which is the big local newspaper, the headline is "The Day Indiana Began to Heal." And the big argument is that people are saying, like, politicians failed to, you know, understand the diversity of the state of Indiana. I've been hearing the word culture war being thrown around yesterday on the local news reports out here. So it seems like the politicians might not have understood what the people actually wanted. And the backlash, you know, might have hurt their political careers.
What an astute report from Guns there. I thought he was going to tell me this guy's going to dunk over that guy or this guy's going to shoot three-pointers.
Well, that'll be coming up. I mean, I'll give you all that. But, I mean, I figure, if I'm here and Indiana's a big story right now, I got to report. Geraldo, you don't fool around. I got to give you the hard news,
That's
baby.
It,
you know?
Man. That's it, dude. Well, come back and give us more basketball in the second hour.
Yeah, we'll talk.
I want you to handicap who's going to be in the final two in the bracket.
Oh, yeah. I got all your betting. We'll make it so you can win on all those bets. We'll give you some money, the whole thing. I got you covered, baby. Come on now.
You could have just backtracked it. Everyone said it was going to be Kentucky and Duke. You could have just backtracked it and won the bracket. That's what the president always does. His brackets are all screwed up, but he has Duke at the end, so they're there. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Real quick, I mentioned that the Final Four Radio Row has been brought to you by Camping World.
Camping World.
Yeah, campingworld.com/RV
You camp out
RV
here
sweeps.
Day.
Yes,
give
yes.
Me that one more time. I spoke of you.
campingworld.com/RV sweeps You can enter there. You can win stuff. You can do all sorts of cool stuff. And it is true. I do sleep in your office. So thank you for that. So. Talk to you in a little bit.
That bodily fluid is on my couch.
Yeah,
right.
That stench. That funk. That stench.
All right, man. I'll see you later.
Talk to you in a little bit.
All right. Let me take one call before back to the topic du jour here. Pensacola Beach in Florida. Steven's on the line. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Geraldo. Love to you and your family during the Psalm holiday.
Thank you very much, my friend.
You know, it pains me to say this. I usually disagree with you on the BB situation. And this whole situation with the arms negotiation. And I thought about it, and, let's cut the guy some slack. I'm a hawk. You know, I'm a General Haig type of guy, you know, a great diplomat in his day.
I'm with you. I love General Haig. Secretary
Haig. I just think we cut him some slack. Hopefully this goes over. I believe in verifying, obviously, but it's a hell of a lot better than sending our men and women in uniform to fight an ugly war, which would suffer greatly, needless to say. But I think we let cooler heads prevail and see how this thing works out. It pains me because I'm not a big Obama fan.
I got you, mate. I got you, but I appreciate the intellectual honesty. I think well said. Well said, and have a wonderful Easter Passover weekend yourself. John in Rockland County, thank you for calling. What's up, John?
Yeah, well.
You're on me.
Sorry. Question for you. If the deal is all if, as the president said, it's just a diff right now. But what's the difference to ask if Iran's going to stand with nuclear power that Israel can exist and you would never say death to America in the contract? I mean, I don't see what the difference that is. If you're going to have people who have suicidal tendencies compared to North Korea, which is just bull crap.
All right, John, I got to let you go.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The theme from Exodus, playing a big role in Passover. Also Good Friday, the holiday commemorating the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, once in a while they coincide. So many of these religious holidays are agrarian based. You know, this is when you plant, this is when you harvest, and that's when the miracles happen. Which came first, the harvest or the miracle? But everybody, a kind of a solemn, but also celebratory weekend. Ultimately, all's well that ends well. There's so much going on. I haven't even gotten to the massacre of the college kids in Africa, in Kenya. It's another terrible, terrible attack there. And I'm telling you, you got Al-Shabaab, you got Al-Qaeda, you got the Nusra Front, you got ISIS. What do they all have in common? All these mass murdering radicals. What do they all have in common? They're all Sunni groups. They vow to destroy Christianity, the Judeo-Christian world, Western civilization. That's why I think that Iran is much more, could be much more our friend than our enemy. I am all for this. I hope that it works out. But there is all kinds of flap in D.C. and elsewhere. Bob Costantini, the reporter for D.C., for CNN, joins us right now. Bob, I really appreciate your coming on. Is there a sense in Washington today that the president has achieved something meaningful, or is it just more grist for the mill of the partisan controversy?
Well, Geraldo, it's perhaps fitting that you played the theme from Exodus, because so much of what we're talking about is also going to relate to Israel with this. But the president seems very satisfied. He said, quote, "If Iran cheats, the world will know it. If we see something suspicious, we will inspect it. The framework allows Iran to keep one enrichment facility open as Tehran maintains its work, continues to maintain that its nuclear work has been for peaceful purposes. International inspectors will be allowed to determine if Iran's complying. And as they go along, if they continue to say that they're complying over the years of this potential deal, then sanctions would be very quickly lifted against Iran, and that is obviously causing a lot of consternation in Jerusalem with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Before we get to the consternation in Jerusalem, Bob Costantini, my guest, the CNN correspondent from D.C., what about the consternation within the Republicans in the United States Senate, like Bob Corker of Tennessee, or Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who authored the letter that was so controversial directly to Iran from the Republicans in the United States Senate? I mean, what are we hearing from them in terms of the aftermath of this deal?
Well, Cotton, you can expect, obviously, is going to denounce this considerably. Corker, who didn't sign that original letter, is not known as a flamethrower among the Republicans on Capitol Hill, but he is vowing to press with legislation when they return in a couple of weeks, legislation that would require Congress to review perhaps the final deal, once this final deal may be established at the end of June. The president is against that. The White House has threatened a veto of that legislation. But also, more importantly, is whether or not Congress goes ahead with additional sanctions on Iran. The administration's been able to hold off, with the help of some Democrats on Capitol Hill, hold off on further sanctions while these talks continued. Will they go forward with new sanction legislation against Iran, which has the potential to really scuttle everything, obviously? And would they have enough votes to override a presidential veto of those additional sanctions, Geraldo? And I can't emphasize this enough. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York is a key opinion maker in this matter. And I've looked on the web. I've looked at his senatorial site, et cetera. I've seen no reaction from him. Democratic leader in waiting, go buck his own party's president with this deal? That's a key question.
I can't imagine Schumer would do that, but Bob Castantini, I really appreciate your reporting, and thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend.
Pleasure, Geraldo. Thank you.
Okay, mate. This agreement, you should know, ladies and gentlemen, this agreement, as it now stands, does not require congressional approval. I mean, the president can temporarily waive sanctions without Congress having anything to say about it. Congress can pass a law that says we want to impose additional sanctions, but the president can veto it. So the question is whether or not enough Democrats would join with the Senate Republicans to override a presidential veto. And that's where Chuck Schumer comes into play. You know, Schumer very strong on Israel. Would Israel give Chuck the message to go out and try to scuttle this deal? I don't see that happening. I think that this deal, and now with Iran, I mean, it's so surprising to me when you read, just following the wires right now, the AP wire, Iranian President Rouhani pledges his nation will abide by its commitments in nuclear deal. I mean, when was the last time you ever saw Iran agreeing to anything that seemed reasonable? I mean, it's a pretty big deal, though.
It is a big deal. And, you know, some people might have underestimated the president on this one and the way it was hashed out. People thought that they had sped up these negotiations because of all the stuff that was going on with Israel. And maybe that wasn't happening. Maybe they were doing really serious negotiating in Switzerland. It had nothing to do with the politics back home.
I'm shocked that, it makes you a little uneasy that Iran says they're going to accept that uranium can be enriched only to the level of nuclear power, not a nuclear weapon. This could be a watershed moment.
Let's put that in your trunk.
And this is Frank. What's up, Frank? Yo, Frank. Yo, Frank.
Yes, in the car.
Frank. Yeah, come on. Is he butt dialing me? Here's Stu in New Jersey. What's up, Stu?
How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks. I hope you have a great weekend. What's doing?
Thank you. You too. I'm curious. How does anybody know what the final deal and verification is going to look like when nothing's in writing? And number two, why is this president the only one who moves forward with these type of deals without calling it a treaty and congressional approval?
Well, that's our system. He doesn't need, it's not a treaty. He doesn't need Congress on it. But why does he do it? I don't know why he does it. I don't know. That's an issue. I guess you could argue substantively. Why did he take that route? I mean, he can legally do it, obviously. The question is, he does foreign policy. That's what presidents do. This isn't a treaty per se. This agreement is not, so it doesn't need Senate ratification per se.
Does everything he can do.
So what do you think he's doing? What do you think he's doing, Stu?
I just think he likes to skirt any oversight that he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
And go back to this deal particularly. How do you feel about this deal?
You know what? I haven't seen the details of the deal, so I can't really comment.
Well, just pick up everyone's got it listed.
They have all the details written down in it?
Well, yeah, there's 19,000 centrifuges now. They're going down to 5,000, et cetera, et cetera. The deal is much more specific.
Are they allowed to continue to make and research making intercontinental ballistic missiles?
The deal doesn't mention missiles, as far as I can see.
Right, so they're still allowed to advance their missile program, and are they still allowed to be the number one supporter of terrorism?
Well, I don't believe they are the number one supporter of terrorism. I think that's all a bunch of baloney. Didn't you hear what I said before? What I said is Al-Shabaab just kills 147 college students in Africa. Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda. You know what Al-Qaeda did on 9/11? The Nusra Front. They are the hard-nosed terrorists and what they've been doing. ISIS, cutting off people's heads and burning people. Every one of those groups are Sunni Muslim radical extremist groups. Sunnis. Shabaab, Qaeda, Nusra, ISIS, Sunnis. Iran is Shiite. What don't we get here? Who's the enemy? Who's the real enemy? The two bombers from Queens, Sunnis. Sunnis. I mean, I'm for religious freedom and all the rest of that, but you can't pretend Iran is the biggest international sponsor of terrorism. Who says? When was the last time Hezbollah attacked the West? College Point. Richard's on the line. What's up, Richard?
Hello, Mr.
Rivera, happy holidays.
Oh, thanks. You can call me Geraldo.
You and your family.
Thank you very much.
One quickie. I mean, you say we should be trusting this president, but in 2009, September 22nd, the president went on TV and gave an interview about the Affordable Care Act. He made it very clear at that time that the Affordable Care Act was not a tax, and that the only reason why people are calling it a tax was to scare the people who were for it. What's the Affordable Care Act now?
It is a tax. It is. Yes, I saw it right here. We knew it was a tax.
And he was
trying to sell us a bill of goods, and he managed. He did. I am in favor of Obamacare, by the way, but it is a tax. There's no doubt about it. John Roberts said as much. The chief judge of the United States Supreme Court ruled it is a tax. And there, I wasn't suggesting for a moment that Barack Obama has not dissembled, has not spun things his way in the same brutal partisan fashion as his opponents do in the Congress and elsewhere. It just seems to me everything I'm hearing about this particular deal, even from Israel, you're not hearing Bibi saying this deal's not going to stand. He's not making blustery statements about it. He's got real concerns, which is great. Everybody should have real concerns. But this is a guy, I think he is finally, if this is as it appears, then he finally has an achievement. We have been extremely critical of the President of the United States for his amateurish approach to the Middle East. I think he helped it come apart by his lack of information and his distaste for war. He really helped it go to hell in a handbasket. And yet this is a pretty spectacular achievement. If it is what I hold it in my hand, if the deal is what I'm reading, then I cannot believe that he actually pulled this off. Him and the other six nations.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
54 minutes after 10 o'clock. What has Hillary Clinton been saying about this Iran deal? Welcome, 77 WABC, taking your calls. People are talking about Al-Shabaab. They're talking about Iran. They're talking about nuclear weapons. They're talking about these two ladies from Queens who wanted to blow stuff. Did they identify a target, by the way? The Queens ladies?
What do you mean? Outside of the two, they wanted to bomb the funeral for the two police officers who were assassinated.
They were musing about that,
yeah.
But they never identified a specific target.
Outside of that, no.
And so, okay. So what about Hillary Clinton? I haven't heard anything about her in this
context. You know, I don't know that she's weighed in officially yet on this Iran deal, but what we did see is that she signed a lease for space in Brooklyn, 38,000 square feet in Brooklyn Heights. That clearly is going to be where she runs the 2016 campaign out of. Did so. She signed the lease on Wednesday, and not clear when they'll move in, but it's right at a subway stop, a bunch of subway lines stop. It's about a half a mile away from the Brooklyn Bridge. She had been working at Westchester because that's close to her home in Chappaqua, but could not find a place that they liked. Brooklyn makes them a little hipper, a little cooler, maybe makes her look a little younger
that.
As well.
It seems such a play for the girls crowd, you know, the bosom buddies crowd, I'm too hip for school kind of crowd. I don't know. I love Brooklyn. Spend a lot of my life there, but I don't know. Brooklyn Heights. Okay, cool. That's where she's going to be headquartered. So different, I'm sure, from the Ted Cruz's and the Rand Paul's all the rest. At least she's in New York State with it, with all those jobs. 38,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Must be quite the place. James in Long Island, what's on your mind, buddy?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Two things, if you allow me, real quick.
All right, real quick.
I am 60 years old, so I'm pretty close to your age. I followed your career immensely, Geraldo.
Mazel tov. What else?
But I never thought my whole entire life that you would be led around by anybody, a politician or anybody, like Obama does. Second of all, President Obama is not running for anything anymore.
That makes him more honest, I think.
But the Democrats and the Republicans, if they want to stay in office, they got to run again. So if they have to rebuck their president, the Democrats, they're going to do it to stay in office.
So you think Chuck Schumer is going to be against this deal?
Yes.
You think Chuck Schumer should be against this deal?
Yes, I do.
And why is that? Why is that?
Why is that?
You'd rather have war with Iran than a deal.
Just like they should have been against a deal with North Korea. They're not trustworthy.
All right, James, have a great weekend, buddy. Thanks
you
for calling.
Too,
we'll be right back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
A blood moon, as they call the total lunar eclipse. I guess they call it a blood moon, Noam, because it's shadowed by the Earth, but the only light that shines on it is the Earth's reflected light rather than the sun. In other words, the Earth gets between the sun and the moon.
Right.
So there's no sunshine on the moon, so the moon's in shadow. But the Earth itself, because we generate so much energy, the blue light of the oceans, etc., that's what reflects off the moon. So that's why it has that blood red color. So this is a blood moon.
So when is this? Is this tonight?
It's, I think it was either this morning at 6.
Oh, we missed it?
Or 4 something Pacific time. I think we either missed it or we're going to miss it because, let me see right here. What does it say?
I should have DVR'd
it. It's starting at 6. I'm sorry. It's starting at 3:16 Pacific Daylight Time. So that's 6:16 a.m. The moon, yeah, we missed it.
Oh.
For the next hour and 45 Great. Minutes, total eclipse lasting only 4 minutes. People west of the Mississippi will have the best view, at least a partial eclipse visible. And their sunrise will interrupt the show on the East Coast. So our sunrise has interrupted our show. But the show of the moon. But it is the blood moon. Trust us. And today was the eclipse. Trust that. Today is Good Friday. Trust that as well. Today is also Passover. And all the mishpucha is getting together in Bethesda, Maryland at my brother-in-law Josh's house. I think I got a pass, though.
You did?
I may.
I just swing that. Can you get me one?
I don't want to say too much because I know the invitations will pour in. But I feel just I have this need to just do this solemn date on my own.
You do. You're going to go home and have some matzah.
I'm going to go home and have some gefilte fish, and I'm going to ask myself the questions. Oh, you don't ask the questions today. Anyway, we're going to be passing over. What we can't pass over is the big news, though, and it is very important news. There is a tentative deal. The details are pretty well specified, at least in the reports I am reading, but I guess they're waiting until June to get the final signed documents. But I like what I see. Many people, many of you this morning have been asking me a kind of a philosophical question. How can I trust President Obama to do anything, honestly? After he has dissembled and lying about Obamacare, one thing or another, after he bungled the Middle East. I trust because I am an optimistic person. I'm a patriotic person. I believe if a guy says that, the sky is blue, that the sky is blue. And in this case, it seems to me that this is a very reasonable deal. All the sounds we are hearing out of Iran indicates that Iran is now behind this deal. And it wasn't just, a bilateral agreement. It wasn't just the U.S. and Iran. It was the U.S., China, Russia, I'd say France, England, who was the fifth one? Maybe the United Nations was the fifth partner. I forget who they had 6 altogether versus Iran. So everybody had a role in this and everybody is happy. Nobody wants to see anybody else, any other country get the capability to have an atomic bomb. I mean, that's the last thing this unstable world needs. And, is that the inevitability that these homegrown terrorists, the technology as it gets more and more promoted and published, will the terrorists be able to get their hands on a nuclear weapon and really screw the world up? Because the world could never recover from that. Here's Michael in Queens. I'm going to take your questions now, folks. Let's have some spirited and polite discussion. You don't have to be that polite. just believe in what you have to say. Go ahead, Michael, you're first.
Hi, Geraldo. I love your show. Thank you for having me on. First time caller. I think we have a short memory. Not me, but maybe you, and remember the need of Osama bin Laden. He took care of it. The need when the Christians were, surrounded. He ordered airstrikes. You know, when there's a need, Obama is there. And maybe, like you said, he saw a need to sort of unite against the Sunnis.
Well, I think that I'm not sure exactly, Michael, what the point is there. What I am distressed by, I mean, certainly weapons of mass destruction in 2003, we all went for that, even though everybody had their reservations. I don't know where your head was back in those days, but everybody had reservations, but we were already at war with Afghanistan. Then came the administration saying to a virtual certainty that there were weapons of mass destruction. And there were critics even then, very active, the ambassador, I forget his name, from Africa, who was saying there was no such thing as the yellow cake uranium and all the rest of it was BS. We could have, been very skeptical of the Bush administration. We chose to suspend our disbelief. This case, I don't get any of those hinky feelings. I can't imagine that with all these countries involved, these six powers involved, that if they say that Iran can only enhance uranium for nuclear power, not nuclear bombs, I got to believe that they're not stupid people. I mean, John Kerry's not a stupid person. He can't, they think that all these guys go there to Switzerland and get hoodwinked by the Iranians. I don't think so. I think this could be a major, major breakthrough. If you want to keep talking about this, it's okay. I will. I'm getting a little bored with myself, repeating myself. But, I'm glad that this thing happened. And, I do want to swing back to the to Indiana and all that and the aftermath of that. And also German Wings. I want to get it 5 minutes in on the pilot, the co-pilot's obvious premeditated desire to kill himself and commit mass murder. But let's stick on this. I'll take these calls for now on this Iran deal. And tell me how you feel about it, 866 Geraldo. John, you're on. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Geraldo, how are you? For some reason, Obama has proven time and time again that he's much smarter than the Republicans. I mean, you got to understand, the Republicans took Saddam Hussein, who was the mongoose in a pit of snakes, out of the Middle East. They're the one who caused all of it. So Obama sees an opportunity where he can get another mongoose to keep those ISIS people at bay. I mean, who does Israel want? They want us to go bomb Iran, and after we bomb Iran, leave a vacuum? I mean, these Republicans kill me. John McCain was the one who wanted Obama to arm ISIS against Assad. And thank God Obama didn't listen to him. John McCain was the one who baited Obama to help with Libya. And look at what happened in Libya. These Republicans are like warmongers. I mean, God.
Well, I don't know about that last part, but I think that your analysis is pretty sound up until that point. What are your plans for the weekend, John?
Well, just stay home and enjoy the fact that Christ died for us.
Do you do Easter eggs?
No. Mm-mm, no.
You have no little babies?
No. My kids are grown. They're grown kids now.
All right. Well, enjoy the weekend, man. I appreciate
it. You too, buddy.
All right, man. There's an edge to his voice that, you start to get nervous that he's going to go off on, with the broad brush and generalizations. And that's always a danger. I appreciate people giving their sincere feelings. But and Obama, I think that he kind of glossed over, Obama's role in Libya. Obama had to pull the trigger. It wasn't John McCain that pulled the trigger. And it was a disaster. And that's part of one of the reasons I think you have to be skeptical about the competence of President Obama when it comes to foreign relations, but he seems to have pulled this off. I'm sorry. If you got better information than I do, let me know. It's Carlos in Yonkers. What's up, man?
Hey, blessings to you and your family, my friend.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
I think, Geraldo, that it's about legacy, perhaps, because like John Lennon, let's give peace a chance. It's, he brought more to the table than what we thought he was going to bring. I just think that this man here is really trying his best. not to go to war. He's trying his best to negotiate. And I think we should give Obama and the peace treaty, you know, a chance to unfold.
You know, I want this. Thanks, Carlos. I want this to succeed just because, well, first of all, it's good for the world that you don't have a confrontation and that you don't have another nuclear power developing. But also, I just want the senators who signed that damn letter to Iran to now absolutely understand how out of touch they were and how they could have screwed up what may be an historic deal. And in keeping with what Carlos just said, let's go to commercial with my dear old friend John Lennon singing us to the commercial.
Sound of the City, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
I just want to note, welcome back, 23 minutes after 11 o'clock. Robert Shuler headed something called the Crystal Cathedral. Remember, he used to do the Hour of Power, one of the first of the religious shows on TV. You know, I'm a long-haired kind of radical, you know, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not identified, certainly not with the evangelical Christianity. But when I got married, out of the blue, I got a personal handwritten note from Reverend Shuler wishing Erica and I best wishes. And I was so touched by it. It came out of nowhere. I mean, a real nice note. And he died at 88. But a wonderful, wonderful fella. And, you know, I know the church had problems with overspending and all the, that most of that happened after he stepped down. And it was one of those mega churches and they're kind of suspect from the get-go. But he was so nice to me and so, you know, for lack of a better word, Christian, to me that I lament his passing and, I want to recognize his life. He made a lot of people. A lot of people, I mean, just let me read what he said in the last words kind of were, no matter what, God is still God. He died of cancer. No matter what, God is still God. No matter what, God is still a good God. God loves you, and so do I. And that was, you know, I love sincere people, even if their belief system isn't like my beliefs. If they're good people, good is a universal, I think. It's a universal value. And Shuler was, Reverend Shuler was a good person. As long as I'm on this religious kick, what are the four questions?
The four questions for Passover, you mean?
Right.
When are we going to eat? Why is this taking so long? And what the hell is kichel anyway?
What is that thing on my plate? What is that shriveled thing on my plate?
The four questions are, let's see, the Hebrew school is a long time ago. Why is this night different from all other nights? Other nights we eat matzah. Other nights we eat bread. This night we eat matzah. The other question is, eat vegetables on other nights. This night we only eat bitter herbs. Dip our food. Normally we don't dip our food, and this night we dip our food
you
twice.
You didn't sit in the front row, did you?
I did not. No. Usually, actually, I snuck out and played pool, to tell you the truth.
I should have asked my 9-year-old. She would have given me a sharper answer.
She would have totally, yeah.
And the fourth?
And why do we sit in a reclining position, like more comfortably with pillows or whatever?
Why don't we?
No, we do on this
night. Why do we?
Yeah, yeah.
And why is it the youngest person traditionally who asks? You don't know that either?
No, I have no idea.
Call up your kid. I'll get your son on the line.
Oh, you do?
What's it? What is it? All right, Marty.
Marty, his dad was a cantor.
That's right. Sing us the answers, Marty. Anyway, that's enough. Jerry in Long Island, thank you for calling 866 Geraldo. What's on your mind today, buddy?
I want to make some points, and I don't think anybody's brought them up. First of all, Iran is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. So if they don't want a bomb because they've been cheating all this time, why don't they just say we'll live up to that treaty and have enforced inspection, non-announced?
But the enforced inspections, as I understand it, are part of this deal, a big part of this deal. Go ahead, Jerry.
But what, you're not answering the question, why don't they just live up to the agreement that they signed?
I don't know. I guess it's a good question. But
trusting Iran.
Okay.
Okay? And the same kind of deal happened with North Korea. We made deals. We gave them food, all kinds of things. And in the end, they cheated.
Right. So you have no faith because of the North Korean. I got you. I thought he was finished. Chris in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hi, how are you? Happy holiday.
Thank you, you too.
First of all, I mean, I listen every day, but I disagree with you on absolutely everything. I use you as a barometer. If I agree with you, I have to go back and see where I'm wrong.
Women's Booker, what do you mean? Come on.
Okay, Obamacare. You're in favor of it.
I am.
You say you're a Republican. You voted for Obama twice.
I did.
Okay, anyway, listen.
I also voted for George W. Bush.
Well, so did I, but I mean, I kind of regretted that, but okay. This deal with Iran, why would we want to, what do you think their motivation is for wanting to have nuclear power?
They want to have nuclear power because the Sunnis in the guise of Pakistan have their bomb, so Iran wanted their bomb. They can't have their bomb, but they can't pursue nuclear power.
So basically, we're helping them get a bomb so that we can stabilize the region.
We're not helping them get a bomb at all.
But that's their goal. They have oil. They don't need it for energy. Why would
we have nuclear power? We have more oil than anybody.
But why do they need nuclear power?
Come on, they need it because they want it. They want to have the technology. What happens when the oil gets used up?
They want to have the bomb. We're not stupid. We can say all we want. We have a president that lies.
I agree they want
to
have the bomb.
And you're waving.
I agree they want to have the bomb, dude. You're not listening to me. I agree they want to have a bomb. I think that under this structure, they're not going to get a bomb as quickly as they might get a bomb if we didn't do anything. I mean, that's what everything I'm reading says. Everything I was reading says they could be 2-3 months away from a bomb if they really went balls to the wall. I can't say that. Okay. If they really went balls to the wall, they could have a bomb in 2 to 3 months. Under this deal, you have at least a 1 year warning period as all these smart people tell me. I don't know. I'm not a nuclear scientist. I'm just reading what every analyst is saying. It's pretty spelled out there. All right. Here's Howard. What's up, Howard?
Yeah, hi there. I just want to make a comment and just get your opinion on it.
Okay.
I feel like everybody who believes that this deal is going to work is just transcends naive. The Iranians never, ever, ever, ever keep their word, and I don't see where if they don't and we catch them, that the Chinese and the Russians.
All right, Howard, we'll ponder that on the far side of the news.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
36 minutes after 11 o'clock on this big, big holiday weekend, the city seems sort of deserted.
It does.
I noticed there was all kinds of press parking in front of Fox News. A lot of people already on their way out. I'm not doing O'Reilly tonight because they preempted it for the Killing Jesus movie on Fox News. So, basically I'm going to go to the car show. Try and line up my Continental right now. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do, yeah.
My favorite show on TV, Game of Thrones, is coming back. They're already reviewing it. It doesn't come back until April 12th. So that's a week from Sunday. They're already reviewing it, at least in the Daily News. But it's my favorite show, and I'm excited about it. read all the books, don't remember what any of them say. You could just read the same book over and over. I mean, it's just like the same stuff. Yeah. You wouldn't know. But I'm excited about Game of Thrones. Excited about, because of my bachelor status this weekend, watching the Final Four, the semis, the Final Four. They play Saturday night, Kentucky versus Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the long shot there. Oh, no, I don't even know. I guess not the long shot. Kentucky undefeated. We'll get the details from Guns. And Duke versus Michigan State, and then Monday night is the finals. And now, exclusive, here on 77 WABC, live from Indianapolis, where he is covering the Final Four, our own Guns Gunzelman reports.
Doing you proud, keeping you proud,
all
keeping
right,
you
so
happy, Geraldo.
Who's sponsoring you?
This time it is sponsored by Macy's. We all love Macy's. Hey guys, get to Macy's for big time savings on the hottest gear for spring and more now at Macy's lowest prices of the season sale. How about that for a read?
That's
huh?
a nice one, man. Now you can you get out of the lobby of the hotel, actually get a room.
Yes, now I can afford to have some fun.
All right, so what's the scuttlebutt? We talked about politics and gay stuff in the first hit in the first hour. Now talk about basketball. Kentucky, first of all, isn't this the longest undefeated run in NCAA history, or is it? I don't know. Kentucky.
Whatever you just said, that's it. Yes, whatever you just said. But yes, they want to go 40-0. That'll be the first time for this ever to happen. The last time you had an undefeated team was 1976, the Indiana Hoosiers. My parents didn't even have a forethought of me in 1976. I was not even close to being born then. I was born 10 years later after 1976. So this is exciting because you have a really good Kentucky team that, you know, the big thing was, could they beat the Knicks? And a lot of people think they could beat an NBA team. So you have Kentucky playing. Do we want to see them go undefeated, or do we want to see them be perhaps upset? And all four teams, no matter what scenario we have for the championship game Monday night in Indianapolis, it's going to be a good game. Wisconsin's got this great star, perhaps the player of the year. His name's Frank Kaminsky. He averages 19 points a game. He's 7 feet tall, and they play really good basketball. And then you've got perhaps one of the most hated teams.
He's a surprising white guy.
Yeah, and he's white as well.
What Cheech says when he watches the NCAA. What are you watching? I'm watching black guys bouncing balls. Or what are you doing baseball? I'm watching black guys hit baseball. Yeah, it's just so funny. But Kaminsky's cheese whiz,
sick.
They call him.
Yeah, yes, he's awesome. And then you've got perhaps one of the most hated teams, Duke. Duke is back in it once again. And,
Why do we hate Duke? Just because it's hard to get into?
You know, same thing kind of like why we hate Tom Brady or the Patriots. Just like this elite team.
So
like,
good.
Oh, I'm so much better than all of you. It's Duke. Like, do we really want to see Duke win? Probably not.
Michigan State is very scrappy, although they have been vulnerable. Didn't they lose like 10 games?
They also lost to Duke earlier in the season as well.
Ah.
But the thing is, they're resilient, and for those that want the upset, you're kind of going for number 7. And their coach is awesome, Tom Izzo, great guy. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. So, I mean, as far as
who are you picking? I'm not going to be able to talk to you before. Who do you pick? Don't give me the final winner. Give me the final pair.
Final pair. Because I swear I don't have any money on the game whatsoever, I want Wisconsin to beat Kentucky. In my brackets, the only one still alive, I have Wisconsin winning. Of course, once again, not for money or any favors whatsoever. I want
that's what Senator Menendez said.
Yeah, exactly. I learned from the best or the most corrupt. And I got Wisconsin.
Alleged.
Wisconsin Duke. How about that? That'll be my pick.
So
for
you
Monday.
Have Wisconsin Duke. Okay,
yes, yeah.
Great.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
Okay, Guns, we'll check back with you on Monday, dude.
Thanks, baby. Well, that's if I'm not in jail. So
yeah, right.
I'm seeing Rihanna's performing tomorrow night for the after party, so I might go hang out with her. So
excellent. You come up to her waist.
Yeah. Hey, that's good. That's good enough for me. I'm no fool.
All right, Guns in Indianapolis. Give us a sponsor again.
Macy's, check out Macy's and all that. And also check out WABCradio.com/sports and Twitter.com/TheGunShow. We got you covered. Got a lot of exclusives. Be partying. We give you everything. And you know it, baby. Geraldo, yeah.
All right, Guns. Jared Max, our dear old colleague. Jared Max, ran into him last night at Bernie Kerik's book party. Buy that book, by the way, From Jailer to Jailed. Fabulous book. Moving up the charts on Amazon, Bernie Kerik's book. So Jared Max was at Bernie's book party. Jared now works for 24/7 News and our crosstown rivals, WCBS 880. Not only an excellent sportscaster, but a young man who has declared his his sexual preference. So he's very keen, not only to cover the sports angle of the Final Four, but also the Indiana law and everything else that's been going on. So, Jared, what do you think about when you see the movement in Indiana, Arkansas, et cetera? Do you think the world's finally coming your way? You there, Jared? Hello. Hello, Jared. Hello, Jared.
Hey, Geraldo.
Hey, there you are. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I do think the world is kind of coming around and in terms. I wonder, and this question might not be popular within the LGBT community on this, but sometimes I wonder how effective protests are in the sense of who it is that's protesting. Because I know that some openly gay athletes, former athletes, are forming together in Indianapolis between, say, Jason Collins, the former basketball player, as well as Greg Louganis, Olympic diver, and others to protest this. I think sometimes what we really need, we need a massive demonstration, not by the LGBT community, but an equally loud outcry from those not in the LGBT community. And I think we're seeing a lot of that, that's gone on, in response to this Indiana law, from certain people in sports to even the NCAA. NASCAR,
oh, you must have been heartened. You had Walmart, you had Apple, you had the NCAA itself, you had NASCAR. A lot of people condemning these discriminatory laws, though, Jared.
I think the more we get, and Geraldo, I think it's a shame, honestly, that nowadays we need to get the right things done in our world by sometimes publicly shaming or vilifying others by saying, wow, look at these people, they're bigots, in order for people to do what's right.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, let me ask you this. What do you think about that pizza company that said they would not serve a gay wedding with their pizzas? They received death threats and were assailed in every other way, and yet they did some crowdsourcing and they got $250,000 in donations. What about all that stuff?
There's going to be folks who you and I wouldn't want to hang out with all over the place. I think we're getting to a place, though, obviously, where people are going to be, there is a level of equality. That this is going on in Indiana, it makes it, weren't we talking about this about the Olympics last year in Sochi? The fact that it's in Indiana and there's talk in Arkansas, I think that's a scary point a little bit, Geraldo. You know, it's pretty cool. I was just reading, like, folks who were out in Indianapolis, you go on Uber right now looking for a car service, and the first thing that pops up, you know, Uber is proud to serve everybody, every driver. And along the little cars, there's little rainbow flags on all of them. So
that's cool.
I think it's becoming the not so much, hey, it's cool to be good to the gay people. But I think people are starting to recognize, wait a second, these people who we grew up with thinking they're so different, they're so foreign, maybe we should make fun, we mock what we don't understand. I think people are starting to understand, wait a second, equality is equality. It doesn't matter if we're fighting for civil rights between people who have different color skin or who have a little bit of a different makeup of DNA. That's what we're.
Do you wish you came out earlier?
I only for the sense that I think it would have added number of years of quality of life. I'm grateful I came out when I did to my mom when I was 21 because I knew that even though I wasn't quite ready, it would make my life in the long run much better. And
so, how's your love life?
How's my love life?
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Yeah, I mean, you're connected with people. I'm waiting for a hookup from you.
And I'll tell you, any bakery I go to, they'll bake you a nice cake.
It was really a treat to see you last night, Geraldo.
Yeah, it was, Jared. We miss you, man. We miss you. You're doing great there at 24/7 News and WCBS 880. We wish you the best. Enjoy the weekend of basketball.
Ted, happy holidays. Happy Passover.
Yeah, you too. And Easter and Passover, right? Whatever floats your particular boat. Okay, let me take one more. I take a Lou in Mineola. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Geraldo. Happy holidays to you.
To you too, brother.
I'm against this deal. I don't think it was wise. We had Iran on their knees, okay? Oil prices had dropped. The sanctions were working. I think, aside from the nuclear issue, regime change had to be considered. This is a regime that's very cruel to its people. They sponsor terrorism around the world. We should have just let everything stay the way it was until they collapsed, and they would have. And that is a peaceful way to resolve the problem. It's a false choice that this is being presented as a choice between war or this deal. No, this is the choice between just keeping something that was working in place and doing something stupid, which is what we just did. And John Kerry coming out and saying, oh, these sanctions will snap back in place if they violate the agreement. Baloney. You'll never get the sanctions back in place. I think they did something very unwise. And Obama.
Well, hold on, Lou. Punch in Ron here. Crash, punch in Ron. So, Ron, where are you from?
I was born in Iran.
So what do you think of what Lou is saying there?
I respectfully disagree with him. I fully understand Israelis and many Americans that are concerned with this. But what is the alternative? He's saying that more sanction is going to push Iran toward the Chinese and the Russian. The other one is the military action, which unless somebody is willing to put boots on the ground, nothing is going to happen. As soon as you bomb a country, all the people are going to go behind whoever is the leader.
I agree with you, man. I agree. Lou, with all due respect, I agree with Ron. I got to let you both go. I got to take a break. 47 after 11 o'clock on this important program on the eve of the big...
Geraldo, live, local, today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
Curtis and Kubi are here. Everybody... Die, die, Enu, die, Enu, die, Enu. Come on, Ron. Die, die, Enu.
Wait, you have to put your microphone on. Oh, your mic's not on. You turn your mic on. There you go.
This is a guy.
Die, Enu, die,
Enu. This is a guy who specifically...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Is he going to be an anti-God rant?
Pharaoh's heart for the express purpose of showing how tough he was by slaughtering the firstborn male son of Egypt.
Not only that. Why did the Pharisees say, let Barabbas go and crucify Jesus Christ? I'm having my Mel Gibson moment. What are you Jews doing in here today? I'm having psychotic flashbacks. Pogroms, pogroms.
So the Jew is more anti-Jew than the Gentile.
I'm not anti-Jew. I just, if the Muslims worship that particular event or set aside a
this
portion.
This is not their holiday. Keep them out of it.
Give them, cut the Muslims some slack. If, one weekend of slack.
If they did something like, we'd heard nothing about how Islam is just, it's a religion of war. But yet, because we're Jewish, we get away with it. As to the guy who dies and comes back, I'm sorry, I find that a bit unlikely.
Well, you sound like that line in the Book of Mormon. He finds the book buried in his backyard upstate New York.
Anyway, Geraldo.
All of our creationist myths, though, we give them all the slack in
my
the world.
My peeps, the real Christians, Roman Catholics are online. The Mrs. Paul's fish sticks sell El Rapido today. I had my fish filet from Mickey D's. Marinara sauce on the
you
pizza.
You were eating a fish filet.
Yes, because I'm observant. I may sin the rest of the year, but not on Good Friday.
So what does it mean, the holiday weekend, mean to you?
First off, if you're Catholic, today is the most important day. We're totally into the crucifixion. Protestants, they could take a chill pill. For them, it's the resurrection. Saturday, we get all this guilt because we're blaming the Jews for everything in our life. We finally
but resolve
Sunday's
that. But Sunday's a big day. Nice day, son.
Sunday, Easter egg hunts. You know, Fabergé, Easter egg hunts
Easter
up in Greenwich.
Bonnet,
all
the thrills.
That's rich people. It. That's not working class people.
So do you think that some of the militancy of Israeli policy is based on some of the creationists' myths that
I think the militancy of Israeli policy is based on that bad bit of business in the 30s and 40s.
Oh, that business.
Yeah. You know, the guy with the mustache, the extermination.
That's
bad
what
business.
I think it's that's what on. It was based on, right? The crucifixion of Jesus. Now, even though he wanted to die for all of our sins so that we could go to heaven, no, we have to blame the Jews for all that, right?
And let's face it, the Palestinians
I heard a funny
built
one.
The gas chambers. They sent the panzers into...
Yeah, the Palestinians
they didn't?
I remember...
Maybe we took the wrong people's land.
Kubi goes...
Damn! Are you sure?
We should have given... The Jews should have gotten Bavaria.
Yeah, at least they can brew beer.
No, Uganda, remember they were looking at Uganda, the Zionists.
Bavaria would have been a better deal.
Yeah.
But I remember, a joke when I was growing up is this Christian guy gets up and he slugs this Jewish guy. And the Jewish guy says, what the hell was that for? You killed Christ. The Jewish guy says, that was 2,000 years ago. The Christian guy says, yeah, but I just heard about it. So are you at all observant with your commie activism?
No. I'm sorry.
You really, you pass on all really, the...
You know, look, when I was
and
younger, I used
your
to
children?
Enjoy...
Did your children get bat mitzvahed and stuff?
Did I get bat mitzvahed?
Your kids.
No. My daughter did not get, my daughter's not even Jewish. Her mother's Sicilian. I did not get bar mitzvah. I didn't get past blowing the chauffeur in the Hebrew school lessons. It's like, what?
Oh, I thought it was a,
what?
I almost made a terrible
Geraldo, his holiday's coming up. It's May 1st. Workers of the world workers unite. He'll be singing the International. That's his freaking holiday.
Prisoners of starvation. Arise, ye wretched of the earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, forgive us.
For we have sinned.
Forgive us. If you're a Christian, I wish you happy Easter, observing Good Friday and Saturday, and then a great Resurrection Sunday. If you're a Jewish, Passover everything, Passover the wine and the whatever else.
I just think
float your boat.
Grow
have
up.
A wonderful weekend. I'm sorry, I brought the atheists in. I apologize.